Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Put God first. God will take care of the rest. But if you put money and pleasure and power first, you're going to be deceived. You're going to come up empty. You're going to come up short-handed. You can be rich, but if you're without God, what do you have? You have nothing. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, instruct those that are rich in this world's goods not to be proud. Don't fix your hopes on the uncertain things that money can buy. Fix your hope on God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
When you move God from something, all you have left is death. But not only that, this shows us the significance of the fact that God refers to himself as the God who cannot lie, not the God who does not lie, not the God who will not lie, not the God who has not lied, but the God who cannot lie. Why can't he lie? Because Aleph Mem Tav, if you separate God from the truth, all you have left is death. But if God himself doesn't keep his word, then God himself has to die. And if God dies, everything ceases to exist. That's the nature of truth. That's why there's no his truth, her truth, your truth, my truth, their truth. There's only the truth, and anything that's not the truth is a lie.
Anytime you see something that's a success in your life, you can always tie it back to the fact it's a product of the grace of God. We're not that great. We don't have it all together. The fact that you have that job, it's God's grace. You go, well, Aaron, I studied so hard in school to get the degree, to get this job. Yeah, but who gave you the mind? God did. You're product of God's grace. That relationship you have, don't give yourself credit for it. You go, well, I started working out. She noticed me. Like, you're still ugly. I'm telling you. She's not telling you, but you are. You ain't that good looking. It's the grace of God. Your kids, they're acting right. Don't act like, oh, well, I raised them right. We did the right curriculum for them. No. The grace of God. When you recognize that everything we have is but by the grace of God, it keeps you humble and it keeps you with the posture that since God's been good to me, I'll be good to everybody else around me.
I pray you don't just believe in Jesus because even the demons believe, but that you follow this. That's my prayer. Jesus, I thank you that your love empowers us. Your grace is bountiful, but God, your judgment is just as righteous.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
God, my prayer is that everyone watching or listening does not merely believe, because even the demons believe, but God, we follow you wholeheartedly, full submission. All day, every day, it's you. We only want you. You're the prize. God, let you be the apple of our eyes. God, we love you. Thank you. Praise you. Jesus.
I'm a God believer, and in my mindset is like, if he destroys my plans, it's because maybe my plans could destroy me. So I don't want to have anything because I want to have it. If he decides it, if God decides to give it to me, I accept it. I will do everything to get it because I desire it from all my heart. And if he says that if I desire it, I have the faith, I will get it.
You are in charge of protecting your heart. Well, Pastor, there's been some people I trusted in my life, and I gave them my heart, but they just ended up being a dog in the end. Jesus said it like this. And I get what you're saying, but Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. He said, don't give something that is holy to dogs. They will only turn and hurt you. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs, for they will only step on them. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Talking about the subject of judgment. And we know this because of the previous verses before it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, Jesus said, don't judge others, and God will not judge you. You will be judged the same way you judge them, which means God will treat you the same way you treat other people. Oops. But he goes from this subject all to verse 7 to say, don't give what is holy to dogs. So Jesus was making it clear, listen, you are not to be a hypocritical judge of other people or condemn them, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit will help you recognize the dogs and the pigs in your life that want to crush your heart, meaning you need to have discernment. Identify people by their actions, by their hearts, by the way that they live, by the things that they say, by the way that they treat other people, meaning do not give your heart over to somebody just because they said they won't break it, but at the same time, they have burned all bridges with everyone else in their life.
Dear God, I thank you that my name is written in the book of life. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you that I'm right with you. You've taken away all my blemish, stain, and sin. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, Jesus, I choose today to live by faith and not by sight. I trust in you, Jesus. Today, I believe the word of God is living and active, and I will walk by the word of God. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And today, I choose to walk by the truth, and I renounce and reject every lie from the enemy in Jesus' name. I receive your peace today, God, as I rely on Jesus and not myself. In Jesus' name, amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. Peace, peace be upon you in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Guys, Jesus loves you so much. Pray to him about everything.
Everything.
Read the Gospels. We love you so
much.
We
love you.
God bless you. God.
The greatest act and evidence that God loves you is that he has first loved you first. I mean, what you're bringing to the table is nothing in comparison to what God has on the table. I mean, if you read Mark chapter 4, what does that guy have to bring? He has 5,000 demons inside of that guy. Like, what does that guy bring to the table? 5,000 demons? And Jesus does what? Sets him free. It doesn't matter the baggage you have, the sin you have, the shame you have. It really doesn't matter what you did last night. The grace of God, this free gift that God is giving you and me, empowers us to leave that lifestyle. So what's the difference? If you already hate your life, then why wouldn't you give your life to Jesus? If you already hate the junk that you're doing, why wouldn't you give it to Jesus? You've got absolutely nothing to lose.
What's the difference between hearing God's voice in your head and...
That's good.
You know, because you're like, it sounds a lot like God, you know, where it's like you can almost hear it audibly, but
it's
not. So how do you differentiate that?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Doesn't align with the Word of God.
So if you're hearing God speak, he is never going to contradict the Bible.
And misguide you.
Ever.
Right.
He will never contradict the Bible. If you're hearing something that you think is from God and you can't find in the Bible or it goes against what it says there, it's likely not from him.
Right. Because it's also really important to remember that Satan mimics God.
He comes disguised as an angel of light.
Period. So I think you're right, like that's so good, because the best way to make sure that if it's from God or not is to make sure that is biblically correct.
Vet it. Yeah.
Because he could even try to make himself sound like God.
Yeah.
If you know that God saved you and you still struggle with some things, but you can still come close to him and depend on him, just put this in the chat right now. He did it anyway. He called my name. He gave me grace. He filled me with his spirit. He did it anyway. He didn't have to. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it, but he did it anyway.
The reason you're watching right now is because 1,000 years before you were born, God knew you'd be watching.
Beautiful.
And he wanted to say this to you. You matter to me. You matter to me. I have loved you before you were born. I have seen every day of your life, the successes and the failures. And I've never stopped loving you. And I want you to know me. You were made for a relationship with God. God has a purpose for your life. And it actually is bigger than your time on earth. The 60, 70, 80, may at the 100 at the most years you get here on earth is really, God has big plans, long plans for you. He wants you with him forever in eternity.
So God is saying, before I give you stuff, I gotta strengthen you. I may have to take you through something you don't want to go through so you can be ready for what you got to go to. My God, did you hear what I just said? I may have to take you through something you don't want to go through, because I'm getting you ready for something you got to go to. And you so busy crying about what you're going through that you blind to what you're about to go. Oh my God, I am internally strengthened, which means God is developing me, not from the outside in, but rather from the inside out. Yes, you're gifted, but you're character weak. Yes, you're anointed, but you're not disciplined. So God is saying, before I give you stuff, I gotta strengthen you.
Listen, you cannot manifest God's plan. God's plan calls for patience. His plan calls for total trust in his love and protection and faith in his goodness. If you believe in God and all of his mighty love for you and this world and your life.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Then you must also believe that in your surrender, in giving God the total authority over your life, comes his plan and his promise. The thing is, sometimes we think we know better than God. I know what I need. I know what and who will be good for me. I know which direction to take and which way to go. We get so caught up in our pride and in our ego, we think we know what's best, and so what do? We try and manifest. But let me tell you, if you believe in God, there is no manifesting. There is only surrender.
Sometimes I feel like we put this expectation on God that he has to answer our prayers in the way that we think we need it. And so when we ask and it'll be given to us, it will, and that's a promise. But it doesn't always get given to us in the way that we think it will, right? But he does. I mean, he promises that to us, and it is in black and white in the Bible. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. You have to have faith that he is going to answer your prayers, and you have to have faith that he's going to answer your prayers in the way that is best for you, and that is God's way, right? He's going to answer your prayers, but on his terms and in the ways that he believes is best for us, because he knows better.
God's plan is worth the wait. Be patient. Trust him. I know it's hard. Waiting always is, especially when you feel like everyone else is moving ahead and you're just stuck. But you're not stuck, okay? You're being positioned. Okay, sometimes it feels like God's quiet, like you're praying into a void and nothing's changing. But silence doesn't mean absence. Sometimes he's just working where you can't see, okay? We get so used to instant everything, instant food, instant replies, that we forget faith was never meant to be instant, okay? You don't see it now, but he's aligning things behind the scenes, okay? You're asking for the blessing. He's building the version of you that can handle it. Okay, waiting doesn't mean he said no, it just means he's still working. And I get it, patience isn't easy, especially when you're watching other people get what you've been praying for. But God's timing isn't late, it's precise. Okay, Isaiah 60:22 says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Okay, that verse keeps me grounded because it reminds me that my timeline isn't the standard. His is. So breathe, stop rushing what God is still shaping. The waiting is uncomfortable. But one day you look back and thank God for every closed door, every delay, and every redirection, because it all led exactly where it needed to.
God is all-knowing, yet he wants to know how your morning went. God is all-knowing, yet he wants to know how your friendship is going with that person. God is all-knowing, yet he just wants to know how your heart is. He wants you to be honest and share your heart with. God is omnipresent, yet he wants to spend time with you one-on-one. If he came on earth, took form of a servant, showed us how to live it, so that when we turn to him, we look to his life as an example of how we do things, how we live, how we serve, how we love him, because he's full of grace and truth. Jesus is truth. So when we're in a world full of confusion and everyone's truth, let your truth be truth. Everyone's got their own truth. That's not true. Jesus is the truth, and we can turn to him for truth, but we can also turn to Jesus for grace. If we fall, if we sin, know that we have an advocate to the Father whose name is Jesus Christ, as 1 John says. We have an advocate who is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus Christ took the form of a servant by taking on flesh and lived a perfect life in a sinful world to show us how to live. And when we keep our eyes on him, our life becomes the light, and we live as to who God called us to be.
Pray until there is no fear left in you. And if that takes you weeks, do it. Forgo your sleep to pray if that's what you need. You're not sleeping anyway. So keep praying until all fear is gone from your life and you are filled with the Holy Spirit's confidence. Fear is not something God brings to your life. Anything negative that is making you afraid, pray until that goes. Because it will go. And if you pray until it goes, then you will be able to move forward with whatever you need to do next.
As I've grown, I've came to obviously the faith of Christianity and my belief in Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and that's what I hold true to myself. Now, as I got older, of course, you ask yourself so many questions, especially with my type of mind. I ask questions in anything. So as I went through that whole process, I really got revelation, and I've been honored to be blessed to be in the presence of God at times. It's almost like this. When you search and you continue to search, you know, and you get enlightened in moments, you want to scream it out to everybody. And you want to tell everybody of what you discovered. True understanding comes from within. So unless you're willing to search for it and with trying hard just like you do in everything else, you'll never find it. Amen. Because it's only going to come within you. I could scream to the world. I can scream to you all day long. You know, Jesus is the answer, which I will, because what I've learned, because I have such a mind like that, I've came to that conclusion. But again, it's all within yourself. You have to search. You have to try to find. You have to ask constantly. And then, you know, that's how you find out. You have to seek, and then you'll find. If you have ears to listen, that's what Jesus said. If you have ears, let you hear. If you have eyes, let you see. If you're not willing to do that, then I'm going to dust my feet off and I'm going to walk in what I know.
Why is Jesus the only way? Every other religion has a leader that lived, that died, and then stayed dead. Buddha, he says, I don't know the truth. I'm seeking truth. He lived. He died. Stayed dead. Muhammad said, I'm a prophet of the truth. He lived. He died. Stayed dead. Confucius says, I never claimed to know the truth, but I'm searching for the truth. And he lived. He died. Stay there. Moses, who gave us the law, who walked the children of Israel out of Egypt, he lived, he died, he stayed there. Every other religious leader in every other religion, they lived, they died, and they stayed there. But in Revelation 1 and 18, Jesus says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now I'm alive forever and ever. That's why Jesus is the only way. because no one else could do what Jesus did. No one else took our sin. No one else hung on a cross, stayed in a grave, then rose 3 days later and said, all power is in my hands. No one else did that. So why Jesus is the only way? That's why he's the only way.
Family, the first sin ever committed was not in the Garden of Eden. The first sin ever committed happened in heaven. So the scripture teaches us, since we don't read, that God created all these angelic beings. And among those angelic beings, he created three archangels. Michael, who's responsible for warfare. Gabriel, who's responsible for delivering messages. Lucifer, who was responsible for worship. The scripture says his body was made out of musical instruments and pipes. Ezekiel taught us that. But then Isaiah in 14 teaches us something about Lucifer when he was in heaven. Some way, somehow, he got a glimpse of his beauty. And then the first sin entered into the heart of a being, pride. And then in his pride, the scripture says, because of your much trading, you corrupted yourself. Which means what Lucifer did, he started going to one angel. He's like, yo, I'm going to be better than God. And then he goes to another angel. I'm going to be better than God. And then he runs to another angel. Yo, I'm going to be better than God. And he goes on whispering in the ears of all these angels that he's going to be better than God. And then the second sin is born in his heart. Rebellion. And the scripture teaches us he rebelled against God. And there was war in heaven. Read the book. War in heaven. And because there is no dualism, that Satan is not stronger than God Almighty. The scripture says because of that, watch, Satan was cast out of heaven. It's when Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning down to the earth. And in Revelation, when he's pictured as the dragon, it says his tail took a third of the stars of heaven with him. That is, he took one third of all of the angels with him who he had gotten their ear. So stupid. Who, according to Jude, abandoned their place in heaven, and now they're going to be chained in eternal fire for their abandonment of God. These angels that he corrupted, that was thrown out of heaven, are the demons that roam the earth today. They're the demons that whisper in the ears of your favorite psychic when you go get your palm read. And these demons have been watching you since you was young. And so they whisper in the ear of the psychic. They tell your age and the last boyfriend you had and what city you was born in, because they've been watching you. And then they start to prophesy and tell you about your future and lead you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're not read, because you love sermons but you don't read, you don't know that that stuff is demonic. Your little tarot cards, your little sage, your little crystals, your little readings, all that stuff is demonic. How are you praying to God and got crystals next to your Bible at the same time? How are you trying to send up the incense of prayer and got sage burning at the...
It costs everything to follow God. Salvation, that's free.
Come on.
But then Jesus says it himself, no one can follow me unless they curse, die to themselves, and then carry their cross. We can't even fathom the blessing that God has for us. This is why faith is so important. So you really have to simplify it. This is a way to see if something's from God. It's very simple. Who does it glorify?
Come on.
Does it glorify you? Does it glorify money? Does it glorify Jesus? Simple. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything will be added to your life. Simple. Die to yourself. It's hard, but it's a simple concept. Yeah. What does that mean? I wake up every day, all the time. Lord, I give you my thoughts right now.
Jesus.
I give you this relationship. I give you my money. I give you this fear. I don't want it. Understand that we're spiritual. We're spirit beings, and there are spiritual forces more active than us operating behind everything. There's a spirit behind everything.
Yeah.
Very simple. Is it glorifying the man of God or is it glorifying Jesus?
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no one can follow me unless they die to themselves first and pick up their cross. First sign of business, he gives you a burden.
No one can stop what God has for you. Not your enemies, not the people who betrayed you, not even you. God sees it all before it ever happens. He saw exactly who would switch up on you before they even had a thought. He saw the jealousy before they even smiled in your face. God saw their plans before they even made a move. So why has God given you these people to begin with? Not everyone that God sends to you is meant to be there for the long term. Some people are only here just to help you start. Because sometimes God doesn't just remove people from your life, He exposes them with intention. And here they are, thinking that they got away with it. But some people don't realize it was all part of the plan. The job that fired you, that person who ghosted you, that friend that just switched up on you for no reason, they thought they had the power to block your destiny, but what they didn't realize and what they failed to realize is they were just a part of the setup. Here, Judas thought that he was ending Jesus' story by exposing where his location was, yet he didn't know that betraying Jesus was the reason that Jesus was pushed to giving us salvation. Doesn't matter what bad happens, doesn't matter who betrays you, doesn't matter who lies to you, who's disloyal to you, it's all part of the bigger purpose. It's all part of that plan that God has for you. Never forget that. So when people betray you, when things go wrong, be thankful, be grateful, because God is exposing the enemy and his plan. But ultimately, he's setting your plan so it can go the way that it's supposed to.
God knows that you're trying. He knows that although you mess things up, that you're doing your best to be a good mother. You're doing your best to be a good father. He knows that you're a single parent trying to grind it out to the best of your ability. He knows you're trying to be a good husband. He knows you're trying to be a good wife. He knows you're trying to be a good employee. He knows you're trying to do good even when other people don't recognize you're trying to do good. Let me help somebody. He knows you're trying to be a good spouse even when your spouse can't see that you're trying to be a good spouse. He knows that you're doing what's right even when your family members can't see that you're doing right. When your friends persecute you, he knows you're trying to do right. When your family outs you, he knows you're trying to do right. When they turn their back on you, he knows you're trying to do right. He knows that you're trying to do what is right even when other people don't recognize you're trying to do what's right. He knows all of your good ways even if people don't recognize it. He knows all of your ways even if other people don't say you're doing a good job. Even if no one else affirms you, this should help somebody. Even if your family can't see it, your boss can't see it, your wife or husband can't see it, your friends can't see it, your employer can't see it, your pastor can't see it. I'm talking to you. He knows all of your good ways. Watch, and he will reward you for them.
Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive and June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny system. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 Mannies that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails, where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
He will give you the desires of your heart. Can I passage remix that? Because y'all, all my life I've been quoting this wrong. God's gonna give me the desires of my heart. He gonna give me the desires of my heart. That's why I made the list. So he can know exactly, like Santa Claus, exactly what I want. He said, you missed it. When you put everything you are in the Lord. When I put my relationships in the Lord. When I put my business in the Lord. When I put my feelings in the Lord. When I submit my plans and I put it, what? In the Lord. When I take my family and I put it in the
then God will give your heart what it's supposed to desire.
What do you mean everything is God?
Whenever there's no failure, there's no wrong. Whenever something doesn't go my way, it's because it wasn't supposed to. So when I say everything is God, you trust God. You think of the positives, not the negatives. If it didn't happen, my brother told me, if one door closes, if you sit there and you stare at that one door, you're not looking around. 1,000 other doors have opened. All you gotta do is look around.
You don't have to figure life out when you can just ask God for the plan. If God made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, surely He can give you the plan for your life. I was thinking about this scripture that declares, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And even though we got things we want to do, it's better to ask God, what's the plan for my life? What was your idea when you created me? What was in your plan that you wanted me to fulfill? The Bible declares, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And the Father says, you ain't got to figure it out, because I already worked it out. Because His plan is waterproof, you won't drown. His plan is fireproof, you won't burn. His plan is failproof, you won't fail in His plan. This is why you got to ask Him, what's the plan? Because it's the enemy's job to make you think that you can try everything and eventually you're going to wind up where you're supposed to be. When you can just cut out the middleman from you thinking and you trying different things and say, Father, what's your plan for my life? And get on board. Somebody just put the bottom of the screen. I'm going with God's plan. I'm going with God's plan over my ideas. I'm going with God's plan over my desires, because His plan will not fail me, because His plan has a hope and a future in mind for me. Have a good one.
God's presence is not a feeling, but it is a promise. You read in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It doesn't say draw near to God and if He's feeling like it, He might draw near back to you. No. It's saying draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This is why you must have faith. This is why we can't, as Christians, we can't base our walk with God off of a feeling. You know, we may pull up to church and, you know, the person right next to us may just be bawling their eyes out during worship. And we're like, man, like, they must really just feel God's presence. But it's like, no, it's like God's presence is already there. It's not a feeling, but it's based off of God's word, because there is no lies found in God. So if God is saying all you need to do is draw near to Him and He will draw near to you, well, then that's that. But you need to have faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Let me tell you, it says faith the size of a mustard seed. You will be able to tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will obey you. Maybe the mountain for you right now is just wanting to know that God is there with you. And you do know that He is there with you, because that's what His word says. Don't believe your mind. Don't believe your thoughts. Don't believe what the world says. Don't believe your feelings. Believe what the Bible and what God is telling you.
Right before God is about to elevate you, He will give you your hardest battles.
Absolutely.
And He will also reveal the hearts of everyone around you, so you can see whether you take these people to the next level of your life or not.
God's timing. It's a blessing and a curse, because the curse is He give you a bunch of no's. Never say yes fast. That's why a lot of people in the end end up falling off. Because when God finally do give you that yes,
that's
where it turns.
And you're going to be prepared for it.
You're going to be prepared. That's God. The devil make you shine in the beginning and fall at the end.
God does not invite us to be formal in His presence. He invites us in to be honest. Be real with God. God is not some person that you can lie to their face and they have no idea if whether you're lying or not. God knows when you're lying. God knows when you're not telling the truth. He's not stupid, He's God. Tell Him everything that is on your mind. Tell Him everything that is on your heart. If you are struggling with pornography, tell Him. If you are struggling with anger, tell Him. If you are struggling with relationships, tell Him. If you are struggling with finances, tell Him. Be mad at Him, if anything. God is not going to get mad at you if you are mad at Him. He does not rebuke you if you get mad at Him. He wants you to be real. He'd rather you get mad at Him and pray in anger than actually try pray sincerely, but actually be holding back some emotions that you are really feeling. And we see this in Jeremiah in chapter 20, when Jeremiah is pouring out his heart to God. He says, "Oh Lord, you have deceived me. You have made me a laughing stock. I have deceived myself by trusting in you." And we see this in Jeremiah. We see this in Job, where people are being persecuted or have lost stuff in their lives and then are being honest with God. And God honors them. He doesn't rebuke them. God honors them and keeps those verses and prayers in the Bible for a reason, so that we can see that we are not perfect, that we can see that we are allowed to have doubts and fears sometimes.
The greatest miracle is this, that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yep.
Okay? And because he rose from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus authenticates everything that he said and everything that he did.
Okay.
Now, that's the most important thing. People often say, "Well, what about other religions? What about other philosophies?" And I'm like, "Well, what about them? You know, what about them?" Listen, if you're walking down a street and you get to the end of the street and it branches into two and you don't know which way to go, there are two men lying there. One's dead, one's alive. Which one would you ask for directions? So, the reason I'm a Christian is because Jesus Christ is alive.
Yeah.
The Lord says this. He says in Exodus 14:14, he says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." And what I want to encourage somebody with today is that you're in between a rock and a hard place. You feel like the enemy is hunting you down and trying to take you out, and you feel like there's immovable things in front of you. And I would just say this, that the Lord will fight for you. He is fighting for you. He does love you. He does see you. He does hear you. Continue to be faithful. He is moving.
When Jesus talks about how to pray, one of the fundamental things is to give us this day our daily bread. And that tells me that there is a need to go to God every day. But sometimes we can get complacent. And I think back to the story in Exodus with the Israelites in the wilderness, how God gives them food for the day and he gives them this thing called manna, which is basically what they eat. But some of them try to hold on to the manna because they're worried that they won't be able to eat tomorrow. And so when tomorrow rolls over, it gets stale and ultimately they can't eat it. And for me, that shows that we cannot hold on to the bread from yesterday or today. Like, there is a daily bread for a reason, and we need to go to God every day to be sustained by him, because every day has its own challenges, every day has its own worries, but God gives us what we need for each day.
Keep dreaming, keep envisioning, keep doing what it is that God has called you to do, and watch his hand work out every situation and circumstance that needs to be worked out in your life.
There are other things that keep us from running to God's presence. You feel that your sin is stronger than the blood, and like there's not room at the cross for when you feel ashamed. There's some of us, we feel so ashamed, you think if you go and talk to him, he won't listen. Like, you don't treat your child that way.
Yeah.
Right? And how is it we think we have more love for our own children than God has for you?
Come on.
Some of us, it's insecurities keep us from running there.
Yeah.
We feel like God would not listen to a person like me, or he won't step into this problem. Do you know God cares about everything that you care about? That's why he says, cast all your cares upon him, right? And so pride, shame, insecurities, failure.
Let me throw this one in there. Provision.
Provision. We're just too comfortable.
We're too comfortable.
Too blessed.
We don't take to God the things that we believe we're already successful in.
Yeah.
There comes a time in your walk with God when you are going to need to stop needing confirmation for every single thing in your life from other people and from the world, and start trusting the Holy Spirit within you. That gut feeling, that inner check inside of you, that inner voice, it's not just your instinct, it's discernment. That's God telling you whether something is right or whether something is wrong, whether you should follow through with someone or whether you should run away from it. And I've learned too many times in my journey that every time that I don't listen to that voice, something bad happens and I learn from it. But every time I do, it usually benefits me. And we all know the verses in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, submit to him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight." And there's a reason God doesn't say trust in man, or trust in evidence, or trust in facts, or trust in what people are telling you. No, he says trust in God, because there's a wisdom that God imparts to people that walk closely with him, and that is through discernment. Discernment is a gift, but it only actually works if you listen to it. Trust the Holy Spirit's nudge. If you feel it in your spirit for God telling you to move, then move. If you feel in your spirit that God's telling you no, then no. It's that simple. You do not need an explanation. You just need obedience. That is what maturity looks like in the kingdom. You don't need to wait for things to blow up in your face to know that they weren't from God. No, you sense it before, you feel it before, you pray about it before, and you act on it. And after God has given you a bunch of opportunities to actually trust him over the things that you're seeing for yourself, and you actually pass those tests and you actually do trust in him, then eventually you'll get to a stage where God doesn't have to shout at you anymore. You're tuned in. If God is warning you about something, listen. Protect your peace, protect your purpose, protect your future, because you don't need to get burned up again to know that the fire is real.
For every young person here, God has a plan. He has the right person picked out for you to marry, if you'd only trust him to help you. He has the right job for you, the right vocation for you. It's all planned. If you'll say, Lord, thy will be done, and you surrender to him and let him become involved in all the affairs of your life, and your life is all messed up. Did you know that God can rearrange your life after you've messed it up by forgiving your sin? Now, he can't take those scars away of sin. I've watched people come forward here, and I've seen many of them as they stood in front of this platform night after night. I've seen them with sin-scarred faces, because sin leaves its mark. But God can forgive all that, and he can take all that mess that you've made in your life and straighten it all out and get you back on the right road if you would trust him.
In Job 1:21, it says, "The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." God can give, but God can also take it away. And this is with every situation. This is a reminder to me that everything in this life is temporary. You can be given blessings, you can be given tough times. God can change any of them in the blink of an eye. Just as quickly as that good situation can change, God can also change the bad ones like that as well. This is why it's so important to remain faithful to him through it all. Because he can give, he can take away. We might not understand, but it is all for your own good. It shall all work out for your own good. Keep shining, people, you'll be okay. Have a wonderful day, amen.
Walk like God sent you. Talk like God sent you. Smile like God sent you. And that's like a very bold way to walk around life, man. Yeah. And you start acting different when you start walking around like that, knowing that God sent you.
5 and 6 is my favorite scripture.
Okay.
And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall make your path straight. Ever since I've been little, bro, I've always wanted to like either play basketball or play football. And God chose me to play football and gave me a great talent. And I always told her, like, man, if I ever got the opportunity to praise your name behind closed doors in front of people, like, I would never be ashamed to say my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You trust in the Lord, acknowledge everything that he does for your life.
Right.
It makes things a lot easier.
Do you know why you overthink? It's because you don't have faith. You have fear because your mind is trying to step into the role of being your savior, your master. Solve things, take care of this, rectify that. Your mind was never meant to be your master. Your mind is supposed to drive you to be renewed by the master. Sheesh, that's a bar. Understand what I'm saying? You were never called to figure it all out, guys. Understand? You're supposed to trust in the one who already figured it all out, which is Jesus. That's the issue here. People think that they defeat overthinking by thinking harder. No. You defeat overthinking by trusting harder. Trusting God to handle everything. Trusting God with your past, your present, and your future. Trusting God with your kids. Trusting God with your spouse, with your family. Trusting God with your job and your career. Trusting God with your walk in spiritual life. Remember, guys, spiritual life is not about gaining anything. It's about what you can let go. So people try to predict every outcome. They're trying to be like God, and God will allow it to show you. Can you do it? Can you be like me? Can you handle everything? Or are you going to trust with me with all your heart so I can direct your path? It's up to you. Are you going to be obsessive with control? Are you going to be obsessive with faith? My goodness. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust yourself? Right? Many people lie awake at nighttime worrying about their problems. Understand what I'm saying? But you have to understand something. It is finished. It's already written. It's in Jesus' hands, and he holds today, tomorrow, and forever. And thank God that he answered it before you even seen it. My goodness.
How to tell the difference between God's voice and your thoughts. There are going to be many times in your walk with God where you feel almost called to do something, and it can be hard to discern whether that calling is from the Holy Spirit or whether it's of your own making. So how do you know whether a thought is from God? There are two things you need to do here. First, you need to ask yourself, can I tie this thought to scripture? Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word can actually shed light to our path so we can know which way we're going. It is a powerful tool that illuminates the darkness. So, that being said, we know that God's will lines up with scripture. So anything God is trying to nudge us into will probably tie into scripture. And I'm going to give you an example. So here's an example I saw from Impact Studio Ministries on YouTube, I believe. And basically, let's say you are praying and you get the sudden urge to clean your room. That might seem like a very random thought, but you also feel like God is kind of pulling you towards it. But that's not usually something God would tell someone to do, clean their room. It seems very unusual. But first, you have to see if you can tie that thought to scripture. Can you tie cleaning your room to scripture? Well, in the Bible, it doesn't directly tell you to clean your room. But since you live under your parents' roof and it's their house, by cleaning your room, you are making them happy and pleasing them. And in Exodus, it says to honor thy mother and thy father. So by cleaning your room, you'd kind of be honoring your parents and God. It's a far-fetched example and it's super random, but it kind of gets that point across on how God's will aligns with scripture and how you can tie your own thoughts to scripture to see if they really are from God. One thing you should know is that God will never, ever, ever, ever tell you to do something that will lead you to sin or evil, because that's the opposite of who he is. God does not have 1 ounce of sin in him. Therefore, he's not going to lead you to sin. So if you're getting a thought that might lead you to do something wrong, that is not from God. That's all you, babes. So once you've already tied that thought to scripture, the second thing you need to do is talk to God. Sit down, pray, go to God, take a few deep breaths, and be like, "Hey, God, I'm having this thought, but I'm not sure whether it's from you, if it's my own making, or if it's from the enemy, and I need help in discerning it. I need your help, and I need some godly insight." That's all you have to say. And just tell God how you're feeling, what emotions are stirring up when you're talking. Tell God everything. He already knows everything, but he wants to hear you confess it. He wants to actually have this conversation with you in the same way that you have a conversation with the people you love. Because you love God, you should be willing to have a normal conversation with him. The creator of the universe wants to get to know you. He wants to talk to you, and he wants to have an intimate conversation and bonding with you. So go talk to God. It's the best feeling ever, and it's going to help you so much. That's all I really had to talk about. Thank you for watching this video. If you enjoyed it, drop an amen in the comments. Follow me for more, because I post tons of Bible studies, and if you want to get into a closer relationship with God, I feel that my videos could help. I hope you guys all have an extremely blessed and fruitful rest of your day.
God is with you. God is for you. God sees you. God hears you. God knows you. God cares about you. God loves you.
I have to close this out by giving the one and only name that matters. If you don't know Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
I would not be here if it wasn't for the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been by my side.
That's right.
When I thought it was over, when I thought it was a wrap, when I thought what you thought, when I thought it was over, God said, "No, I'm God.
Amen.
I got my hands on you, son. All you got to do is wake up and decide to not do nothing stupid. People out here get sad and messed up and broken, and they decide they don't want to live no more. I praise God every single day that that's never been a choice. Some of the biggest egos in the world with money and all the success in the world have made that choice. And if you're struggling with that, I just want you to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your most vulnerable spaces and places and watch and see what only God can do."
Do you know when I was homeless, I told God every day, "If you let me make it, when I get there, I'm going to tell everybody it was you." Well, guess what? I'm telling you that it was him. I have no education. I ain't got a degree of any kind. What you see today is a boy that come out the Bible who believed in him when it wasn't no sign of me getting old, who kept doing this thing that his mother taught. She said, when it get dark for you, you can't find your way. And boy, I was lost. She said, don't forget to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray. And don't ever be too proud to pray, because prayer changes things. You have got to pray.
I ask everyone to pray. Prayer applies to everyone, every situation, and every condition. The poor must pray, the sick must pray, the wealthy must pray. It is for everyone applicable. That's why prayer is foundation. People struggle with prayer. You know why? Because Satan doesn't want you to pray. Now, he is the corporate behind it, 100%. We have an element of it as well, but to be fair, 90% is Satan. 10% is us. We're just being weak and lazy. But 90% is Satan. He doesn't want you to pray. And when you are stubborn and persistent and you get up to pray, what did we say? He's patient, you see? He doesn't give up. So he will come and try to distort your prayer.
Your heart has to be broken in order for you to understand how much you need healing. Who heals the brokenhearted? Jesus, not alcohol. Not addictions, not drugs, not relationships. Nothing else can heal your broken heart in this way. Not that long ago, we had a series called Scars and Band-Aids. Sometimes you have to rip off the scar. Why? Because you're not allowing it to breathe. You're burying it. You're holding it tight so that nobody sees it. God is saying, air it out in my presence, and I will heal you. I'll make you face some things you don't want to face. But in that challenge, I'll show you my love.
Someone that believes in God is supposed to have tremendous faith. That's what believing in God really is all about. And I think faith is about not knowing the answer and understanding that something may not make sense to your human mind, but understanding that there was a reason for it.
God is real, and God is so good, and I'm so thankful to know him, and I will tell people, you should find God before God comes to find you.
That's right.
If he comes to find you, it's too late. Go seek him. He will get you through any war, any battle, and everything is positive because everything is God.
Why does God love you? Not because you're bigger or better than anyone else, but simply because he loves you. We have a creator who loves us. He never asks us to get rid of our baggage before he accepts us. He takes us as we are to be sure when he moves in and begins to rule in our lives, he cleans up a few things here and there. He erases the past through his forgiveness. He begins working in us what is pleasing to him. We're transformed over time by grace, and from the beginning, at the very inception, and continually and throughout eternity, we have a God who looks at us just as we are and says, I love you. I love you just as you are. I love you too much to leave you the way you are.
Do not lose hope. Do not be afraid. Do not say, I am left behind. When you think that it is over, that's when Christ will change everything in your life. When you give up and when you wave the white flag and you say, I surrender, that's when the Lord will lift you up and take you to the heaven of all heavens. He will change your life in a way that you could not ever have imagined of. You need to trust the Lord Jesus. You need to trust the mighty Lord.
Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you believe God. James said this. He said, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Believing in God is different than believing God. Some of you here, the problem is you believe in a loving God, but you don't believe that God truly loves you. Or you believe in a God that answers prayers, but you don't have the faith to believe that he'll hear the cries of your heart and answer your prayers. Or you believe in a God that will save the lost, but you don't think that God will save that person that you're praying for. I want to say to somebody here, don't just believe in him, believe him. Don't just believe that God can, but believe that our God will. He can and will do abundantly more than all you can ask, think, or imagine. Don't just believe in, believe him.
God is showing you a preview of a coming attraction he has for you. And he puts it in your imagination. The problem with your imagination, though, is you tell it to the wrong people. That's the whole problem. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. How many times has God showed you something so vividly clear that you just knew it was perfect? You shared it with your loved ones and your friends and they shot it down. You know why they shot it down? Because they couldn't see it. You know why they couldn't see it? Because God didn't show it to them. He showed it to you.
The devil doesn't realize that what he sent to wipe you out woke you up. It brought you to your senses. You ought to thank God for whatever he used to stop you from your foolishness, to bring you out of yourself and to mature you. There are certain things that you can never write until your heart has been broken. There are some things that you can never see until you see through eyes that have cried. Steve Jobs said that some years you win and some years you build character. Some of y'all build character this year.
God has no iPhone, but I still talk to him.
Whoa.
He has no Facebook, but he's still my friend. He doesn't have Twitter, but I still follow him. And remember, the world's greatest wireless connection is prayer. When you lean on God, he gives you amazing synergy. Remember, God stands for good on delivery. All right? So, and he'll deliver for you, man. Just make sure you count on him. You lean on him in everything you do, man. Good or bad times. All right? You got to be your closest relationship.
God knows the right time, the right place, the right person, and the right answer to your prayers. Right? Even when it feels like he's ignoring you, he's not. He's just not rushing a masterpiece just because you're impatient. All right? You ever look back at something you wanted so badly and now you're like, thank you, God, for not letting that happen? Yeah, that's not a coincidence. Okay, that was protection disguised as a disappointment. All right? The right person won't require you to beg for their love. The right opportunity won't give you anxiety at night. And the right time, it won't feel forced. It'll feel peaceful, easy, even if it's not perfect. So, yeah, keep praying, but trust the silence too, because sometimes the no is actually a not yet. And sometimes the answer is already on the way. You're just not ready to receive it yet. You know, God's timing isn't late. Maybe you're early, but what we know for sure is that he makes everything beautiful in his time.
God ruined your plans so the plans wouldn't ruin you. Let me repeat that. God ruined your plans so the plans wouldn't ruin you. You see, in Jeremiah 29:11, it states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I can't tell you the amount of times I have been praying for something, right, to work out, or a person to stay, a situation to happen, and it just goes south. It doesn't go my way. God removes that person or the situation doesn't work out. And I am just heartbroken, right? I'm heartbroken in that moment. Then a few months go by, a year goes by, whatever. And then it all makes sense. And then I see what the Lord was doing. He was protecting me from that person, from that situation, and working not against me, but for me. Y'all gotta realize, he's not working against you, he's working for you. If that thing didn't work out, if that situation didn't work out, he was protecting you from it. Just saying.
And so then the question is, it's like, what is the will of God? I get asked that all the time. What's God's will for my life? There's a famous quote where it says, if you want to hear God's will for your life out loud,
Read your Bible out loud. God's will for your life is in this love letter that we have bound in 66 books in this leather thing, and it's nice and pretty, and we can highlight it and underline it, and it's great. God's will is in this thing for you, and God's will for your life is that you love Him so much that you would be willing to lay your life down for Him, and because you love Him so much, you love people. You see, the people that He's describing that stand before Him on Judgment Day that are saying, well, Jesus, look at what I did. That's the problem. Because it's all about how hard they did those works for God and not God through them. The things we do for God should be an overflow of our life. The things we do for God should not be the reason we're getting there. The Bible's very clear. If I put my faith in Jesus Christ, dying for the fact of my sins, that's what justifies me. That's what gets me there. It's not the works. The works are evidence that I really believe what I say I believe. The way I treat people and love people, the way I act is evidence that I really put my money where my mouth is. You know what I'm saying? Like this is real deal stuff. I mean, how frustrating is it when you hear all the time, oh man, I hate the church, I hate the church. You don't hate the church, you just hate sinners. People are wicked and people do stupid stuff and make decisions. You don't actually hate the church, you don't actually hate God. It's just a misrepresentation.
You see, you can't change your past, but you can determine your destiny by deciding for Christ. And when you do that, Christ changes your past. He wipes out all the sins of the past. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. When He died on that cross, He forgave all the past. You tonight are reminded of the many sins in your life. The Holy Spirit's bringing them to your mind right now. And you know they stand against you at the judgment where every secret thing will be brought out. But Jesus tonight offers forgiveness. But He offers more than forgiveness. He offers justification. Just as though you had never committed a sin. What a wonderful thing to go to bed tonight and know that the past is gone. Forgiven. Cleansed. And God no longer remembers your sins.
You are in charge of protecting your heart. Well, Pastor, there's been some people I trusted in my life, and I gave them my heart, but they just ended up being a dog in the end. Jesus said it like that. And I get what you're saying. But Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, He said, don't give something that is holy to dogs. They will only turn and hurt you. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. For they will only step on them. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Talking about the subject of judgment. And we know this because of the previous verses before. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Jesus said, don't judge others, and God will not judge you. You will be judged the same way you judge them, which means God will treat you the same way you treat other people. Oops. But He goes from this subject all to verse 7 to say, don't give what is holy to dogs. So Jesus was making it clear, listen, you are not to be a hypocritical judge of other people or condemn them, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit will help you recognize the dogs and the pigs in your life that want to crush your heart. Meaning you need to have discernment. Identify people by their actions. By their hearts, by the way that they live, by the things that they say, by the way that they treat other people. Meaning, do not give your heart over to somebody just because they said they won't break it. But at the same time, they have burned all bridges with everyone else in their life.
Sometimes I feel like with God, there's certain lessons where it's like, how many more times do I need to learn this? You know, sometimes I feel like it's hard to go through the same type of suffering. My mentality is that, is it something I haven't learned yet? So I guess I'm looking at it like, you're allowing this to happen because I didn't learn something.
Right. We've been taught in the church, and this comes out of legalism and so many other schools of thought, that if things are happening, then God is not pleased. He's taken me back to learn the same lesson. And we view His means of sanctifying us as punishment instead of love. Mm-hmm. That actually God loves you so much. He's using you so much for His glory
that he will keep dipping you in the refiner's fire over and over and over again until he sees his reflection.
Yeah.
That's basically how what the refiner's fire was.
Mm-hmm.
The goldsmith would constantly dip the gold into the smoldering hot flame for it to burn off the impurities.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would pull it out and look at it. And then he would dip it back in. And it's like, what is this process of dipping in the heat, pulling it out to stare at it, dipping it back into the heat, because he wants to get the impurities off of it so that when he looks at it, he can see himself.
Yeah. Good.
So we could say, why you keep dipping me in the same thing? Why is the same thing? It's not because you didn't get the lesson. He's looking for him fully in totality in you.
When you ask God for something, he'll give it to you because he says he'll give it to you. Knock and it shall be answered unto you. Seek and you shall find. It's not seek and maybe you will find.
Yeah.
No, you will find. You may find something that you weren't looking for though. You may ask for patience and God may give you a really hard situation that'll teach you patience. He may not give you patience automatically. You may ask God for strength and he might put you through a really tough, tumultuous situation to help you develop strength. So God may give you what you want, but not in the form that you ask for it.
Go for a walk. Listen to worship music. Find a quiet place in your house. Lock yourself in a room. Find time during the week to get alone with the Lord, away from spouse, away from children, away from ministry, away from job, and just sit there in his presence. Pray, read the word, ask God to speak to your heart. Lord, show me in your presence.
God will show you your vision, but never tell you how you're going to get there. And there's a reason why. Because your vision is a glimpse of your end. Between the end and where you are is called the plan. The plan is the process that takes you to your destination. God will tell you your end, like he showed Joseph. He showed Joseph the throne, sitting on the throne, ruling, feeding his brothers. That's the end. God showed you your end. He showed each one of you your end. Everybody got a dream. But he never tells you the plan. Why? Because if he ever told you the plan, you would tell him, forget the destination. Because the plan is to prepare you for the destination.
Right.
So he takes you through all these different changes to develop you.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
If Joseph knew that he had to go through a pit and prison to get to that throne, he'd tell God, forget the throne.
Right.
Right now, where you are may not be where you want to be, but it's a part of the plan.
Love like Jesus doesn't mean just to love people that love God. It means to love people who don't love God. To love like Jesus love means to love people who hate you. To love like Jesus love means to love people who love you and hate you. To love people who are sick and healthy. To love people who are good and bad, in quotations. To love all people. To love the Muslim, to love the Buddhist, to love the Hindu, to love the atheist is to love like Jesus would. But here's the catch, guys. This is how I want to close. Just because Jesus sat with sinners and loved them doesn't mean he endorsed their sin. In the same way, the love of Christ is going to offend people's brains to get to people's hearts. God is going to use you to offend people's brains to get to their hearts with the love of Christ shown through you so that they know that they're valuable, but it calls them out of their lifestyle of sin. It calls them out of the deception, or it points their eyes to the real God of the universe. That's what it means to love like Christ.
Sometimes the best prayer you could play is just help. Just Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I feel like I'm in a funk for 2 months. I feel like I'm off and my rhythm is off. And I feel like my heart has been filled with all these other things and all this busyness that I can't focus. And Lord, I feel like I am disappointing you. And to just feel him just wrap me in his arms anyway.
Sometimes God will engineer transitions in your life, albeit painful, sometimes to push you down roads you otherwise would not chosen for yourself. And because he is the author and finisher of your story, sometimes he know you will not move, and so you need a push. And so sometimes he might close a door to give you that push. Sometimes you might go through rejection to get that push. Sometimes sometimes to crumble around your life to get that push. Sometimes he'll take something out of your life to give you that push. Sometimes the Lord is watching you, knowing that you need to take this next step of faith, and you won't jump. So he engineers a circumstance to push you to that next level.
God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Why do you think he keeps waking you up? Because he got more for you. He got way more for you. He got plans for you. But he needs your faith. He just needs you to call him. He needs you to dust off your imagination and just go for it. You got to try. Quit waking up thinking you ain't got no say-so in your life. You have a choice in this matter. You can't stop what happened to you, but you can doggone show do something about
it. I also believe that God reveals his love to us through legacy, because there are things that you go through in life and you don't understand why, but it was for your legacy. There are lessons you can impart to your children, to your grandchildren. And in the moment that you went through it, you have no clue why I went through this. But it was something that the Lord knew, just like when Isaiah was saying, giving them hope that, hey, the Lord is coming. But it took hundreds of years. But he was not just speaking to the people, but that you might be going through something now that your children's children, they will know the Lord. They would meet him. They would have a peace that they cannot even understand. And I think God reveals himself through legacy. So when we have an eternity perspective, it gives us this embrace of his love.
What do you mean everything is God?
Whenever there's no failure, there's no wrong. Whenever something doesn't go my way, it's because it wasn't supposed to. So when I say everything is God, you trust God. You think of the positives, not the negatives. If it didn't happen, my brother told me, if one door closes, if you sit there and you stare at that one door, you're not looking around. 1,000 other doors have opened. All you gotta do is look around.
If you don't believe in God, then it's pretty messed up, because now you only got you to believe in. But if you got you and God, you can believe in both of those. The reason that it's special is because only you're gonna know that it's working. I talk to God 5 and 6 times a day. He has an accurate account of how I'm feeling about everything, how I think things are going, what I feel like I'm doing good at, what I feel like I need help with. These are our conversations, so I don't wonder why stuff gets moved out of my way, because I asked for things to be moved out of my way. Like you asked earlier, like, aren't you scared? Like, I'm not allowed to be scared because I'm not counting on me. Like, you can't fuck me up because you're not allowed to fuck me up. And I've been in enough situations to know that he ain't let me down yet. Like, every time I needed his safety, it was there.
Yeah.
And will be. And the more times you communicate, the better the relationship is.
I was in the position of, like, I'm gonna give it to God and let God deal with it. And then I realized that God wasn't showing up. And I was like, God, you take it. And he wasn't showing up. I was like, God, I don't know if you've heard my prayers, but I've been telling you to take it. And then I read a Bible verse. And through that, I think the Holy Spirit was telling me this. There was a man who's blind, and Jesus spit in the mud. He took the mud, he put it in his eyes. And he said, go to the river and wash your face, and then you'll have sight. The man didn't get up and go, hey, man, I can't see. Well, like, how am I supposed to get to the river? But he just got up because he had so much faith. And when he was walking, any obstacles or any situation that was going to prohibit him to get to the lake, it got moved out of the way. Or he was able, through God, to get to the river to wash his face. And it was that place where I was like, I'm the blind guy. I cannot see tomorrow. I cannot see if my plans are going to succeed. I cannot see if this relationship is going to work out. I cannot see this. But God said, I don't need you to see. I need you to have faith.
I stayed prayed up, man. I stayed praying that God keep that fucking devil off my shoulder, man. Because we all human. And we can all make mistakes. We can all do some dumb shit at the drop of a dime. So I just pray that God keep me the person that I've grown into and not the person that I used to be.
We're going to honor the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The nations need Jesus. The political parties need Jesus. The poor need Jesus. The rich need Jesus. Those who are white and non-white need Jesus. Those who are pre-born and born need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. Our righteousness is Jesus. Our authority is Jesus. Our Savior is Jesus. Our King is Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus, I am calling you, do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. If they get a pride hashtag in a parade, we're going to worship. His name is Jesus.
If you know that God has called you to be in a certain place, no matter what happens, no matter who doesn't believe in you, no matter people who don't think you're capable or good enough, you know that God's called you to that place, and you know you're going to win no matter what.
Don't forget to pray. But don't be ashamed to pray. And don't be too proud to pray. Because prayer changes things.
Sometimes it feels like God isn't listening. Sometimes it feels like you just keep praying and you're hearing nothing. Listen to this. David also said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away? When I groan for help. Now listen to this. Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. And every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. And so doesn't it seem like Psalms 34 contradicts Psalms 22, where Psalms 34 says that the Lord hears you when you cry out to him, but in Psalms 22 it states that the Lord, are you even there? Somewhere along the way to Psalms 34, we see God show up in the scripture. We see God show up in David's life, and God has proven to David, I never left you. I never abandoned you. And I know life may seem very difficult right now, but I am always here, for I am close to the brokenhearted. That's how David came to this conclusion. But here's a powerful truth for you today. You can have a lot of faith and have a lot of frustration at the same time.
Sometimes when we pray, it doesn't seem like our prayers are working. So if the request is wrong, God will just say no and you'll get it. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. How many of you know God isn't on our schedule? God doesn't work off of our calendar app. God doesn't work off of our time schedule. God works totally off of his time schedule. And when we ask for something, he's not obligated to give it to us by next Thursday. So sometimes we ask God for something, and it's a good request, and it's a legitimate request, but the timing for the reception of it is just not right. All I can say to you is, if you're praying and it seems like God isn't answering, remember, God's not on your time schedule, and so you're to pray continually, faithfully, every day, no matter what.
I keep praying and praying, but I'm not really getting anything.
A lot of the point of prayer is to conform our wills to God's. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the real us meeting the real him. So it's not about shooting up flares to get things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, so they get that wrong, thinking, hey, I'm not receiving anything, so there's no God.
I think that when all of us pray, God answers. There are at least four answers. The first answer is no. I don't like to hear that. I want what I want. That's part of why I pray to God. Please give it. And at times the answer is no, Cliff. Second answer is slow. Slow down, Cliff. And that's real hard for me because I'm one impatient rascal. I want it now. And at times God says slow, Cliff. It'll be my timing, not yours. Third answer is grow. A lot of suffering that I prayed that I would escape, I didn't escape. And God grew me as God grew you through suffering. And then the fourth answer is go. Yes, here's the answer, go. If the answer is no, and I say, well, God hasn't answered my prayer, I'm naive. Yes, God has answered my prayer. The answer is no. I might not like that, but that's what God has said. And God is God. Cliff is not God. So it's no, slow, grow, or go.
Wow, what a great answer.
You said God got you right, and act like it. You said if he did it before, he'll do it again, right? Then act like it. He said if you be still, he'll fight your battles, right? Act like it. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Then act like it. Well, while you ain't losing your mind, I'm acting like what I believe. And I believe if I act like it long enough, he'll show up soon enough.
God can hear your heart when you're laughing at his promises. She laughed silently to herself. And then she said, though, how can a worn out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure? Now, this kind of makes me laugh because she also put Abraham on blast. She said, especially when my husband is so old. Like, this man is so old right now. Like, how can this be? All right, let's continue reading, though. Then the Lord said to Abraham, listen to this. Why did Sarah laugh? I'm thinking Abraham's like, oh no, like, what did she do? Where is she at? Is she in the tent laughing at this promise, you know? And the Lord says, why does she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Then we get to the verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So I feel like this is where a lot of us are today. We believe God, or we say that we believe God for the impossible, but at the same time, there are things and promises of God that we're laughing at. And maybe we're laughing silently. Like, maybe nobody even knows that you're doubting everything that the Lord is going to do in your life. And so on the outside, you're saying, God can do it. But on the inside, maybe you're thinking, just not for me. But why is it important to walk by faith? Here it is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. It requires faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
It requires faith to believe that God can intervene in your situation. It requires faith to keep moving when you want to sit down and give up. And so you need this strength that doesn't come from you.
Why would God allow evil into the world? I think, well, maybe God didn't allow evil into the world. Maybe God allowed the possibility of evil into the world. That's different. And maybe the world with the possibility of evil is actually a better world than the world without the possibility of evil. Maybe a man is better when he's a dangerous man who's being good than he would be if he was just a good man who wasn't capable of being dangerous. And I believe that because the best men that I've ever met are very dangerous men. You don't mess with them.
God is so proud of you, is why you're going through hell.
Some of you don't even realize what you're going through is God bragging on you, trying to show the devil, this is mine right here. Go ahead, take away their job. Get them the flat tire. Let somebody betray them. Watch how they still show up. Bloody, bruised, and hurting, but still crawling to my presence, still giving me praise. I'm telling you right now, don't disappoint your father in the middle of what you're going through. I want to throw this mic. Man, don't disappoint your father in the middle of what you're going through. He bragging on some of y'all from heaven right now. That's why you're going through what you're going through, because he know you can handle that. And I want to say to you, watch, come out on the other side.
When the last time you actually prayed for God to bless the people that's talking bad about you? God, I don't have a lot of nice words, but I pray that they would have an encounter with you. I pray that the spaces and places where they are empty, that you would fill them up. At this moment, I want to fight, but I thank you that you fight for me. And so at this moment, Father, whatever has led them to be in that position, I thank you, Father God, that you would prosper their heart, their mind, their family, and that you would get the glory out of their life at some point, in some way, and somehow. I can't see it right now. I know your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. In Jesus' name, practice praying for people you don't like.
It's not easy to follow Christ. You pay a price. He said, if you're not willing to deny self and take up the cross, you cannot be my follower. You see, we would like something cheap and something easy. His demands were so high that many people refused to go with him any further. They'd go so far and then they'd turn away. Because he turned to a crowd one day and said, count the cost. Count the cost. If you follow me, that means that I become Lord of your life. If you follow me, that means you become my learner, my disciple, and you must do my command. You've got to love your neighbor as yourself if you follow me. If you follow me, you've got to be concerned about the needs of the world. If you follow me, you've got to be willing to take up the cross. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be executed. That means that you're willing to go back to your school and back to your home and back to your neighborhood and tell the people that you know Christ and let them see Christ in you. And that won't be easy. But if you'll do that, he'll be with you.
Can you imagine Jesus dropping the cross? I've had enough! If you people didn't change by now, you'll never change. I've done nothing but good. You've broke my heart and broke my trust time and time again. And even if you say I'm sorry, how do I know you won't still do it? I'm done with you. I've had enough. Every one of us in this room has felt like that and talked like that and treated one another like that. And we can't even imagine Jesus doing that. But the reason he does what he does is to set the example to become what he is. He doesn't just want to lavish you in love. He wants to transform you in love.
What God speaks will always be fulfilled. Always be fulfilled. But sometimes we have to have patience for that. And that's a word that we don't like. It's through the patience that we learn how good God is. So again, God is saying, I'm not going to abandon you. Now listen to this. Be strong and courageous. I love that phrase right there. In Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. It's mentioned to Joshua four times. Four times God is reminding him, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land that I swore to their ancestors. I would give them, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Okay, don't miss that. Did you hear that? If you focus on the word of God and obey the Lord's word for your life, you will be successful in everything you do. You will be prosperous in everything that you do. It doesn't mean that you're going to get everything you want. Okay, I'm not telling you that you're going to get a mansion by putting God first. But what I am telling you is that God works all things out for the good. And he is a good, good father who will bless you, provide for you, and protect you. But the way to see success in your life, and I'm telling you, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of many others, where God can just change your life in an instant. And here's how it usually happens. God will usually change your life in an instant because of years of obedience.
God does not send sickness on us. God does not get glory out of making you sick. Are you listening to me? He is a heavenly Father. There is nothing about your Father that gets glory out of seeing his children suffer. How many parents do we have in the house today? How many parents? How many grandparents? What parent, what grandparent in their right mind would want their kids or their grandkids to suffer? As a matter of fact, you would do anything in your power to make sure that your kids and your grandkids did not suffer. God is a heavenly Father. He said, if you, being evil, desire to do good for your kids and your offspring, how much more do I desire to do for those who love me? We have to get rid of this mentality that God wants us sick. It's not true. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the revealed, manifest presence of God. And I truly believe that when the glory of God comes, when the glory of God falls, when the glory of God resides, anything can happen. The impossible becomes possible. The unlikely becomes likely. The unthinkable becomes tangible. Whenever the glory of God enters into the equation, the supernatural supersedes the natural. He turns those things that can never be into things that are quite possible to those that believe. And family, I have
have to be honest with you. We got enough church services going on in the world right now. We need experiences and encounters with the glory of God. I'm tired of people hearing from each other. We desperately need to hear from an almighty God. We definitely need to hear from the glory of God, because when the glory of God comes, the power of God falls.
And the first thing that he gives to Adam is he's going to give him work to enjoy. If you're like 25 and under, write that down. Work to enjoy. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Work preceded the fall. Work was not punishment. Work is a part of God's design for you. Men, you were created. We were created to take responsibility. My daddy used to always say, a man is like a flatbed truck. He drives straighter with a heavy load. How many of you know that's true? A lazy man is a dangerous thing. A man that is physically a man but acts like a boy is a dangerous thing. How many of you know what got David in trouble? The time of the year when kings were supposed to be all fighting, what was that dude doing? He was lazy, laying on his couch because he had abdicated responsibility. And then he walks out on the front stoop and he sees Bathsheba, and everything goes to hell for him.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.